Now that text again is Genesis 4, for those on the CD and the videos and the website, chapter 4 and verse 1 through 15. Watch the reading of God's Word. "And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof." And listen to this. "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. And the Lord came and said unto him, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Let me be this way with our introduction. And that is that there are some very interesting lessons and some very interesting contrast that can be gleaned from some of the sets of brothers that we meet with in the Scripture. Not only Cain and Abel, but Jacob and Esau, and the prodigal and his elder brother, or the two brothers in the Lord's parable in Matthew chapter 21. Each set of these siblings found in the Scripture present a contrast for us and provide us some very rich spiritual lessons for our profit. We might also mention in that vein the sisters Mary and Martha and the difference in their personality and the lessons that might be learned. But this morning we focus upon this first pair of brothers in Genesis chapter 4, the record of the brothers Cain and Abel. Now, they are representative of two classes of people that were to develop and propagate upon the face of the earth. And there came animosity between them on the account of religion. Here begins the great warfare. It began early in the history of humankind. continues now and will do so as long as the world is standing. Also, here begins the propagation of the race of humans. In accordance with that injunction, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, replenish, be fruitful, and replenish the earth, multiply, and subdue it, which, as Calvin wrote, was not abolished at the fall, the propagation of the race. It was renewed again to Noah in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. In Genesis chapter 3 is an account not only of the sin and the fall of Adam, but of their ejection out of the Garden of Eden. God not only drove them out of the garden because they sinned and they fell, but we notice in the end of that chapter that God also blocked all access to the garden and to the tree of life, to Adam and to Eve and unto all. But in chapter 3 and verse 24 there we read, God placed at the east of the garden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way or oscillated that it might keep the way of the tree of life. The express purpose of this is mentioned, forbidding the eating of the tree of life. Genesis 3 and verse 22. For now man is a sinner, and with that sinning, he has lost his fellowship with God and is driven out of the garden. And now God must be propitiated in another way. An approach in another way is required, that God be propitiated by a proper sacrifice before men can enter into His presence or into His fellowship. That man, as a sinner, is not able to approach God in his own righteousness or in his own person, that sin requires a proper sacrifice for God and man to be reconciled again. We'll say more about that later. But coming now to the birth of the brothers, Cain and Abel, you have it in verse 1 and in verse 2 of the text that we read. Adam knew his wife in a conjugal way, and she conceived, for God would not consign them to barrenness, even though they had sinned and had fallen. The firstborn she named Cain, and the word or the name means gotten or acquired or possession, something of that nature. Verse 1, she bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, that's a very interesting statement on the part of her. And what can she mean? In the second verse, again, she bare his brother Abel. Margin has it Hebel, which some say means vanity, or as some say, interpret it to signify nothingness or a swiftly disappearing breath of life seems to be the name that she gave unto Abel. Now, a few expositors have offered their opinion that Cain and Abel might have been twins born of one and the same conception, based upon the fact we read of one conception and of two births. However, there is nothing in Scripture to absolutely confirm this. It could be that the Lord caused multiple births early in the history in order that the world might be populated. Perhaps twins and triplets and such like. I hasten to call them litters, but several births at one and the same time. But it is interesting here to note the reaction of Eve to the birth of her firstborn son, Cain, as reflected in the name that she or that they gave him, Cain. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. If you look in your margin, either meaning, I have gotten a man with the help and with the blessing of the Lord, or could she possibly think or imagine that Cain was that one promised that would bruise the head of the serpent? If so, she was sadly, badly mistaken. For the firstborn of the human family was a reprobate from the things of God, an apostate from the true worship of God, an evil man guilty of fratricide, as we see in the New Testament. But in the last part of the second verse is an account of their vocations which they had taken up. Abel was a shepherd. He had herds and flocks, a keeper of flocks, a feeder, a tender of sheep on the hillside. And this way, he was a type of Christ who is our great shepherd. Cain, on the other hand, was a tiller of the ground. He was in agriculture. He was a farmer. He worked the land. And Adam was to do so also in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through verse 19. Now, we note something, and that is that the difference is not in their vocation, in the character of the Son. Both vocations were honorable and were necessary. Both of them served the need of the race, so that we need not conclude that Cain's occupation was chosen by him because he was an evil man, nor did being a farmer make him an evil man in the sight of God. Then in verse 3 and following, we read of their offerings and of the manifestation toward their offerings and them by God. And this is the crux of our study this morning. First of all, we consider these are the first sacrifices on record in the Scripture. This is the first time that you read in the Scripture that one made a sacrifice unto God. Verse 3, in the process of time, each one, Cain and Abel, brought an offering. Now, what is intended by the words there that we read? In the process of time. You might notice in the margin that the margin has it at the end of days, at a certain interval or period after the passing of days. Now, Sabbatarians take this as proof of a creational Sabbath observance that was built in and commanded by God, called a hypothesis. Not sufficiently established, however, is how we reply unto that. So was it at the end of a year? Was it at the end of the harvest? We take it to be some set time, and they brought their offerings. But then, upon what premise did they bring their offerings before God? Was it from a direct command? Was it by parental example and by teaching? Was it by a revelation from God that they brought their offering? It would seem there was not only an appointed time, but also there was an appointed place for the sacrifices to be offered. And they seemed to be at the same place at one and the same time. So see the words there, Abel brought, in verse 4, and in verse 3, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, their offerings were not made at their dwellings, nor were they made out yonder in the wilderness or the pasture or in the field or in the byway. And the question is, where exactly did they bring their offerings to present them before the Lord? We do not read of an altar or of them erecting an altar. The tabernacle or the temple was not yet raised up. But I think there is a good hint when we read later that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord down in verse 16. For whatever credit my opinion might carry, I do agree with those who think that it is likely that the first sacrifices were offered near the entrance of the garden, in the vicinity of the sword and of the flaming cherubim, where was there a continual manifestation of God's glory. But also there were emblems of His holiness, as well as a reminder of God's displeasure with the sin of Adam and Eve, where the flaming sword and the oscillating cherubim there were representative of the need of divine justice for a sinner to be in fellowship with God. Sinful Adam is driven out of the garden and barred from ever returning again. We remember that sinners do not and cannot approach or worship God apart from a proper propitiation made for their sin in their behalf by Jesus Christ unto the Heavenly Father. Here is what Robert Candlish had to say in his commentary on the book of Genesis, quote, that it was near the seat of original innocence, unquote. The brothers Cain and Abel brought their offering to this place to make an offering at the proper time before their God. Next we come to note their offering. What did each of the men bring as an offering? Cain, in keeping with his being a tiller of the ground, brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to present there before the Lord. Abel, being a keeper of sheep, brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. No doubt they lay them out before the Lord, whether on an altar, who can say? But let us remember that both sorts of these offering, those of the fruits of the earth and those of blood, both of them were used under the Mosaic law. Both of them were used as sacrifices unto the Lord. And the blood was the most prominent and the most frequent, and was associated with an atonement for sin. And also, the blood offerings best typified the offering of Christ, who shed His blood as a sacrifice for sin. Now, let's come to consider the response of God to the brothers Cain and Abel and their respective offering. You have it in verse 4, the last part, and in verse 5, the first part. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Now, don't miss that. He had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And the thing to notice first is the connection there is between the persons and their offering or sacrifice. Abel and his offering, Cain and his offering. Now, they and their offerings were viewed together. Their offerings and themselves viewed together. Then we ask the question, were their respective offerings reflective of the characters of the men that are offering? Or did their character determine what offering they might bring unto the Lord? Now, for what it is worth, we see that in both cases, Abel and Cain, their person is mentioned first. In both of those cases, their names or persons are mentioned first. respect unto Abel, no respect unto Cain. Some versions render this, instead of respect, in regard, or have regard unto Abel and his offering, or Cain and his. God is said to have respect unto their offering and themselves. Calvin said on this passage, God is said to have respect unto the man or the person to whom he grants his favor, unquote, or whom he gives his grace. And the favor toward Abel, the acceptance of his person, was prior to him bringing his offering there before God. So Moses, in writing this, begins with the person of the offerers, Abel and his, Cain and his. Now let us see that the text here leads us to believe that in some way that is not defined either here or in the New Testament, God did make manifest his disregard for Cain and his offering and his regard for Abel and his offering. We read here in verse 5, "But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth," that is, angry. He was mad. And there was some evidence given in the view of the brothers concerning their offering. Now here's a help. In Hebrews 11 and verse 4, we're helped much by this. There we read Hebrews 11 and 4, "Concerning the sacrifice of Abel, that by his sacrifice Abel obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." Oh, thankful for that passage in the chapter upon faith. Abel obtained witness that he was righteous in some way, visible and visible to the two boys. God did make a manifestation. Coming back to Genesis chapter 4, what might be the manner in which God showed these things so that there was no mistaking God's approving one and rejecting of the other? I think the most probable thought is it might have been in some way that God later did accept the offerings of the prophets and such like. That was by sending fire down from heaven to lick up the sacrifices that the prophets had made unto them. Such as in Leviticus chapter 9, when Aaron and his sons, having been consecrated into the priesthood, began to offer their sacrifices. And we read there in verse 24, quote, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat." And here's the important part. "And the people saw that they shouted and fell down on their faces," unquote. Also, add Judges chapter 6, when Gideon was raised up, and the sign that was given in verse 21 of that chapter. An angel of the Lord gives him and the people a sign, bringing fire out of the rock to consume the sacrifice that was put there before it. One more instance, if you please. That would be in 1 Kings chapter 18, when the prophet Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal and had a test to prove the real and the true God. He put wood about the altar. Then Elijah said to them, "Pour water upon the wood." He said again, "Pour more water upon the wood," and even unto a third time, until the wood about the altar was soaked with water. Then he cut up the bullock, lay him there upon the altar and the wood, verse 30 through verse 35. Then Elijah prayed, calling upon God. Verse 36 and 7. Then in verse 38 of that chapter, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water out of the trench. Unquote. I heard someone say one time that Elijah was the only man he heard about that could start a fire with wet firewood. God did not send fire upon every sacrifice made in the Old Testament, but as we look upon special occasion, the first by Cain and Abel, the first by Aaron and his, and this one to show the true and the living God, to confirm a thing, to sanctify that unto the people, to convince them. Such may have been what the Lord did when the brothers Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices, the first recorded one in Scripture, right there in the very first family of man. God began to make not only a demonstration, but a distinction between persons and their character in the brothers Cain and Abel. Now, before we move along, there are some questions that might be raised. They might come up in our mind in regard to these matters that are here in this passage. Number one, for example, why is there no account of any acts or exercise of faith on Adam's part? Why does the Scripture leap over Adam? And he's not in Hebrews 11 and well. Why does Moses pass over Adam? Why is it, as Manton wrote, after the fall, Scripture speaks nothing notable of Adam, nor is he in Hebrews 11, as I said. But another skeptic or a scoffer at Christianity might count it to be a contradiction that we have read in this passage of Scripture when it is said that God had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. Yet Scripture declares over and again that God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34, Romans 2 and 11. Ephesians 6, verse 9. Colossians 3, and verse 25. God is no respecter of person. In checking the concordance, I found that the Hebrew word, which is translated here by our English word respect, that is, in the King James Version, only three times in the Old Testament, twice here in Genesis 4 and 5, and we find it again in Psalms 119 and verse 117. The same Hebrew word, hold me up and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Unquote. There's that word that we have in Genesis 4. It's from a root word meaning to gaze at, or to look upon, or to look forward, to regard, even to inspect or to consider. I will regard. I will look to. I will have respect unto thy statute, the psalmist has written. Thus he had respect unto Abel and his offering. He looked toward Abel and his offering with favor and with regard. However, in the New Testament it is that rounds out the account of the brothers Cain and Abel, as both of them are written up in the New Testament multiple times. Abel as a good and righteous man before God, Cain as a wicked, truth-hating, God-hating apostate and murderer. And they're even mentioned together in reference to Genesis chapter 4. First, what the New Testament says to us about the brother Abel. The New Testament gives us the character of this man. The first time we meet with it is from the Lord Himself in Matthew chapter 23, 35, also recorded in Luke 11 and verse 51. The Lord Jesus there refers to Abel as a righteous man. In fact, He refers to the blood of righteous Abel when He's talking about how that generation shall pay and all the righteous blood from righteous Abel on shall be required of that generation. And of course, Abel is the first one mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. The examples of how faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Also, how without faith it is impossible to please God. We find that early in Hebrews. Then Abel is mentioned again in Hebrews 12 and verse 24 as that the blood of Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Finally, he's mentioned in the 1 John epistle, 1 John 3 and verse 12, mentioned as Cain's brother, not by name, but by relation, his brother. Cain is also mentioned in the New Testament. In Hebrews 11 and 4, he's named, better sacrifice than his. In 1 John 3 and 12. Then in Jude verse 11, numbered among the apostates, where we read of the way of Cain. We'll look at that in the second service today from Jude. But let's understand, using Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent, a choicer, a better sacrifice than Cain. That Abel neither attained faith nor became righteous when he offered his sacrifice, that the acceptance of his person must precede the acceptance of the service and of his worship. It was manifested when he offered, but it was so before. On the other hand, Cain was also what he was before bringing his offering. The rejection of it did not change his character. It only manifested his character. Now, Cain was no atheist. He was not a heathen. He brought his offering to the same God and the same place as his brother Abel. He acknowledged God in his offering, but it does seem that Cain more offered to thank God for being creator and preserver rather than having a concern to having his sins forgiven in the sight of God and being reckoned righteous before the holy God. That while Abel was moved in all that he did, include bringing his sacrifice, he was moved by true saving or justifying faith to bring that good bloody offering before God. Cain, on the other hand, offered in a more formal way, just as a formality, giving what the Puritan John Owen called, quote, a naked, bare assent, unquote, to the existence of God. Now, in this, Cain is a type of many who think that they are acceptable to God exactly as they stand in their own person, exactly as they are. They think that they are rendering Him service, seeing not themselves as sinners needing an atonement. Going to church, they do, if nothing comes up, desiring to be considered a good person and a religious person. Cain seemed very civil until the incident occurred in Genesis chapter 4. And then at verse 5, there came a major 90-degree turning point in the attitude of Cain. When he saw that God did not look upon his offering with favor, he was exceedingly angry. His countenance fell. It showed in his face and his countenance. And Gill described it like this. He looked churlish, morose, sullen, ill-natured, unquote. He was rebuked by the Lord in verse 6 and verse 7, but was not smitten with guilt or with repentance or conviction. He found no place of repentance at all. And soon thereafter, he rose up against his brother Abel, and he murdered him, and then went out from the presence of the Lord. Now consider verse 8, Genesis chapter 4. Cain conversed with Abel in the field, and there he slew him, he murdered him, he killed him. The first murder was the result of a religious difference. The first murder in history was as the result of a religious difference. Perhaps they discussed the recent events when they argued. The Jews have a long list of them talking one to another, but it is not confirmed by the sacred and holy scripture. Perhaps they discussed what had happened. Cain became angrier and angrier. Abel stood for what he believed in. And the scripture said, all of a sudden, Cain rushed upon Abel and he slew him, he killed him there in the field. We have an explanation for this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. It reads like this. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, what could be clearer than that? 1 John 3 and verse 12. Now, here, their characters are clearly defined. Cain was of that wicked one. See John 8 and verse 44. And he killed his own brother because Cain's works were evil and Abel's were righteous. Cain hated his brother and he killed him. But his real animosity was against God. His first and foremost animosity was against God, but vented against Abel because he could not drag God off of his throne and murder him. He resented bloody reconciliation. He turned to trust in natural strength and worldly greatness as that which was good in his eyes. Cain, I say, is the founder of the liberal wing of the worship of Almighty God, which is yet alive in this world, denying total depravity as it is taught in the Scripture, hating divine sovereignty, rejecting the need for God to be propitiated on account of men's sin, preaching a social gospel and an undeified Savior, and a salvation based upon man's goodness or works. In short, they are apostates from the true worship of God. Now consider something that is said concerning Cain in Jude verse 11. This is my text for the second service, looking at Jude. But some have called Jude the Acts of the Apostates. The Acts of the Apostate. The part that I'm interested in is verse 11. They have gone in the way of Cain. Now, the way of Cain, what is it? Well, it is a way of defection from God and of apostasy. Thomas Manton wrote on this text, quote, Cain's example is produced because he was the first and the chief of them that departed from the true worship and service of God, unquote. Tertullian, a long time ago in the second century, called Cain the devil's patriarch, the first carnal root of the serpent seed in the world, in which persecution against the worship of God began. One said, and I agree, Cain's club, stained with the blood of Abel, his brother, is still carried about in the world today. Today by the society of those who follow in the way of Cain, who are angry to be told that God will not accept them apart from Jesus Christ and His death and sacrifice upon the cross, that God will not accept their personal self-righteousness as standing them good in His way. The way of Cain, therefore, is a way of hypocrisy, of hating the right way, and venting and visiting that hate upon the righteous one. But if they could, they would drag God off of His throne and murder Him as well. They hold in contempt the sovereign grace of our God. That it is all of grace and nothing of merit is an offense to modern men. That one religion is as good as another, we hear 100 times on any Sunday. Did you know recently that some supposed Christian churches have had a dialogue with Muslims, letting them use their buildings and such like as that? These apostate Christian churches in America are doing that. Finally, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 4, Abel offered by faith, which means that he had a revelation of the grace of God unto him. He, in faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Something else about Abel. The Scripture said, he being dead, yet is speaking. The blood of Abel cried from the ground unto God, crying out for vengeance. The first martyr we have read about this morning, the first to shed the blood of martyrdom. And from Matthew 23:35, that all righteous blood from the blood of Abel will be avenged upon that generation that slew our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this shows us something in closing. It shows us that from the very first, faith hath been effectual to save sinners. That from the very first, it has been by faith that God has saved sinners. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That God laid the way of salvation early. And here comes a man by faith to bring a sacrifice to God. God had respect unto that man. He was righteous. And unto his service, his worship, and his offering, because that man was righteous in the sight of God. Here are the two classes of religious people that have flown through the Old Testament, that are flying through the New Testament, those Abels and those Cains, those who believe in God, who by faith cleave through Jesus Christ to Him, and those who would come by works or self-righteousness or in their own goodness. And there is a warfare of grace between these two ideologies. It rages even till now.